You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Here's a rhetorical question from former Senator and Republican presidential candidate Rick Santorum.
If you were Satan, who would you attack in this day and age?
Now, Rick Santorum asked that question in 2008 at Florida's Ava Maria University. He was giving a talk about Satan's efforts to undermine America. Now, the former senator went on to answer his own question.
The father of lies has his sights on what you would think the father of lies, Satan, would have his sights on. A good, decent, powerful, influential country, the United States of America.
Now, those statements resurfaced yesterday on the Drudge Report, and then, of course, afterward, pretty much everywhere on the internet and in the news media. And they have a lot of political watchers scratching their heads about how Rick Santorum thinks and who he is. And one of the questions we have is will Rick Santorum's brand of religious politics help him in a Republican primary, hurt him in a general election? Should he become the nominee? Or is Rick Santorum reinforcing what many Americans already believe? There is evil in the world and Satan exists. Well, joining us with some context on Rick Santorum and on his comments is James O'Toole, political reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. James, good morning.
Good morning, Todd.
Also joined by Jim Marone, political science professor at Brown University. Jim, good morning to you.
Hi, Todd.
James, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, you've been covering Rick Santorum for a long time now. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, well, let me start with you then. Several Senate terms and elections you've been following this fellow. I've covered him in the Senate in Washington. I did for many years. One thing you can say about Rick Santorum is he's consistent. He rarely retreats from polarizing statements. So that tape that I played in some of his other statements, these aren't gaffes in the classic sense. These aren't gaffes. These are really his beliefs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're speaking specifically about the Satan statement. You saw that when he pushed back at the recent attention to that, he didn't disavow anything he said. What he did say is, I'm interested in speaking about jobs and the economy and the things that the American people are interested in. He did not walk away from his view that Satan is a real force in the world and a force against the United States.
And the fact that he believes those things and believes them strongly, the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks of this campaign, James O'Toole, have been about social issues, about religion. This seems to have been a conversation that has really served Rick Santorum in some ways, in that he's fluent and comfortable talking about these issues.
Absolutely. And it's part of him. It's part of who he is. And it's something that will, I think, resonate with a lot of the evangelical voters, certainly, who brought him to his first victory in Iowa. You suggest, and I think that is a concern for his candidacy, that it might be more problematic in a general election. I think that's true.
Well, a little bit of historical perspective, Jim Marone from Brown University, and that's why we're glad to have you here. In 2012, the statements from Rick Santorum about an active, living, evil Satan on the surface of the earth trying to hurt America by seducing it, essentially, sounds a little strange to a lot of mainstream Americans, but it's nothing new on the American political landscape, is it?
One of the oldest traditions in American religious history. The Puritans arrive in America in the 1630s, and they were panicked that Satan was everywhere. He moved, Satan did, through the Indians. And one of the first great issues on American soil was whether men and women would go over and live with the Indians, particularly women. That was really scary because they were going over to Satan. So in historical context, Rick Santorum is going all the way back. It's a long American tradition. I will say, however, it strikes most people as a little out of focus because today most religious people believe in a personal relationship with divinity and not a kind of communal, we're all going to be saved or heading for perdition on the basis of how our neighbors behave. That's not very typical of Catholics, and it's not very typical of modern religion, but is it a long American historical tradition? You bet it is.
And what's the tradition of Americans, how they view a candidate like this? You just alluded to it. We can't get inside the head of every voter, certainly, but traditionally, do Americans view strong views like this from a candidate or a leader as well, just part of their personal background, but they would be a president that deals with issues? Or do they view them as sort of a messianic, religiously obsessed person? Because somebody listening to a presidential candidate talk directly about a living, breathing, evil Satan could take it both ways. They're not really sure what kind of fellow Rick Santorum really is.
There is, as you said at the top, there are people who think, good, he's got his eye on evil in the world, and that's important. But generally, the majority of Americans, when push comes to shove, they like a sunnier version. Americans are pretty optimistic as a people, and candidates who come on very gloomy, whether it's about Satan or the economy or anything else, come off too gloomy, and you sort of violate the spirit of a Roosevelt or a Reagan or even an Obama. Americans like a little optimism with their politics. I'll say one more thing, if I can, just about the danger to religion. What we're seeing something new now in American religion, which we haven't seen before, and that's young people turning off. We call them the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, young people turning off to religion. And one reason they do, to organized religion, one reason they do is if things get a little too hot politically and morally, they have started turning their backs. About 25% of the American public now say, I may believe in God, but I'm not good with organized religion. And we think that that's a result of the intense religious debates about morally good and evil people. That's a danger for religion in America, of a candidate and a politics that's a little too hot.
That's fascinating. Well, James O'Toole, you're in Mesa, Arizona right now. Is that right?
Yes, I was at the
So you were watching the debates last night, and I want to just ask you about the history of Rick Santorum as a politician. We can't doubt the strength of his views on issues like this. What's his history as a politician when issues of his fundamental religious beliefs come up as they clash with politics? I was struck last night in the debate when he said, look, the liberals get so upset when I talk about these things, but I'm not for a government program to enforce my views on anybody. It sounded to me like a little bit of a hedge, and maybe I'm being too tough on Rick Santorum because he said at other times, I'm going to back up everything I say. What's his history when his views clash with the realities of politics?
Well, he doesn't retreat from his views, but I think you point to a difficult moment he had last night when he was speaking about appropriations bills that provide money for contraception, aid to Planned Parenthood. And he made the point that while he is personally opposed to contraception, he thinks that's a problem for society, he did vote for that money. And then Ron Paul immediately weighed in and said, well, you know, money is fungible. You're giving money for birth control to Planned Parenthood, but Planned Parenthood also does abortion. Money is fungible. The fact that you give them money for one thing frees up money for another thing. And he had a little difficulty dealing with that. His answer to that was that he is not, this to him was perhaps a convoluted piece of evidence that he does not try to impose his moral views up and down the line on society, that he does have a broader view as a legislator.
Jim Marrone, historical context here, give you the last word. What does it say to you about the state of the Republican Party right now? I've made the point a little bit that this race is less about Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum themselves than it is about the state of the Republican Party, which is fundamentally divided right now. Historically, what does it say to you in our last minute here that a candidate who can fluently and very ably talk about a living, breathing, evil, interventionalist Satan can be the front runner in a state like Michigan and really have a shot at the nomination?
It's pretty remarkable. The two candidates who were so good at this were Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush. They always did it with a wink. They spoke in kind of cloaked language, which believers and evangelicals could say, ah, he's one of us, without scaring off the majority, without scaring off people who aren't religious and don't understand this language. What the Republicans appear to be doing now is moving awfully far to capture a segment of their party, but that puts them in a difficult situation for the general election.
Well, the polls say that most Americans do believe that evil does exist in the world. So maybe Rick Santorum is speaking to a broader constituency than most of us think. Well, Jim Marrone, political science professor at Brown University, and James O'Toole, political reporter and Rick Santorum follower for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette in Pennsylvania. Thank you both.
Thank you.
We'd love to get your comments on that story or about the earlier conversation we had about cancer recovery and whether or not there's such a thing as being a cancer survivor.
My name is Edward Schmidt. I'm a radiologist here in Pittsburgh. What we need to be cognizant of is that we all have cancer every day, malignancy really, every day. Our immune system takes care of it. Some of us just happen to have clinically obvious cancer.
So your daily scare brought to you by Edward in Pittsburgh. You can give us your thoughts at 877-8-MY-TAKE or you can post at our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.